Blog Talk Radio.
Could not believe it myself. It's kind of caught me off guard, y'all. And then I stepped on in and she stole my heart. I couldn't believe it. This didn't happen to me. Oh, no, Lord. I finally got a woman to treat me like a king. She washed my back. She even washed my clothes. Oh, yeah, man. She massaged my feet and she gripped my toes. Says it's okay, Victoria Bear. Oh, yeah, man. You better step in this room if it ain't mad. Oh, yeah, I'm in love.
We're alone.
7-8-5-7-4-1-9-2. Press 1. I'm going to make sure I get you on the line so you can chat with Marvin as well as Stalwart as well as myself and the other co-hosts that join us as they call in. See, we're excited about being before you because it's championship football time. We're in the late part of, you said middle, right on the bottom side, going on the other side of November. So you're talking about this is time to find out who's the best, getting ready for it. So we're going to talk about it and see how COVID-19 is causing some change. Last weekend, we had some football, but it wasn't much out of the Southeastern Conference, and we were looking forward to it. But some of our favorite teams didn't get a chance to play last weekend because of COVID-19. So we got to understand it's a factor, and we're going to talk about it tonight. I just gave you the call-in number, so we want you to check us out on the Internet. The Internet is www.blogtalkradio.com/ The Smith Way Production. Again, that's www.blogtalkradio.com/ The Smith Way Production. If you want to email the show, you can email us at talkingsportsclub@gmail.com. And you want to check us out by tweeting the show, you can tweet some things to us or go to Twitter and we'll share the Twitter account with you. And to tweet the show at The Smith Way Production as well as at Tremaine Edwards with the number 7, at Coach_L_Smith, at Elliot Darrell with the number 1, and also at Talking Sports Plus with the number 1. Now, we're being broadcast not only on Facebook, but we're coming at you as well as Blog Talk Radio as well as Twitter. So Facebook is facebook.com/DRLDalberto Smith. That's my holler. Give us a shout. Give us a holler. Let me know by going to the comment session and make a little statement. Just say hello. How you doing? What's going on? We're just going to bring it to you as hard as we can. And as well as you check us out on Twitter, which is Periscope. You can check us out on Coach Lorenza D. Smith, which is Dr. Lorenza D. Smith 15, or just Lorenza D. Smith 15. Just check us out. We're ready for you. We're excited. So let's get ready to make this thing happen. Let me give a shout out to those co-hosts that are not on here and that's hopefully join us. We have Hale from Central Alabama. She's a millennial, and she's a lady of that. None other than Coach Lauren D. Smith. Also, we have from North Alabama, our favorite son of that North Alabama, the king, none other than Coach Tremaine Edwards. Also, we have another millennial from Central Alabama, none other than Coach Cameron Gilmer, and our favorite son as well. He's our radio personality who joins us from time to time. And, you know, when you get a minute, and we're so glad to have him because his expertise means a lot to me as well as the show. None other than the Don King of all things, the conductor of the E-Train out of the Big TD out of Montgomery, Alabama, 94.1, none other than Darrell E-Train Elliott. Now let me give you a shout-out for these other two young men that's on the line right now. We have our newest person join us, but we're going to just go start out with that fella who bring that high school experience with us. He hails from South Central Alabama. He retired working with young people through the Alabama High School Athletic Association. He's known the most people as Worth. Stalwart. Tony Stalwart. We've given so many names, but we're so proud to have him. and stuff. I don't want to give it a real nickname because we might want to shout that one out right now. But I'm going to do it away, Buster. So, none greater than my fraternity, brother. So glad to have him a part of this team that's live tonight. Coach Tony Touchdown Stallworth. Coach Stallworth.
Glad to be here, my brother. Glad to be my brother. Can't find no other place to be. I got a challenge tonight. When I get a challenge, I'm always up for it. That's my coaching mentality. Somebody call me out.
Been a while since I've been calling out. You can call out, brother. So we're going to make sure we get him that induction. But I want to say something about Darryl East. Darryl East is another member of Phi Beta Sigma Fraternity Incorporated. So glad to have him as a part of this show. And also we have another Divine Nine that joined us as a sorority person, the Lady of Alpha, member Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated. That's Lauren D. Smith. Now let us get to this next man, this next gentleman. He is the newest. We're calling the baby of the bunch. He's joining us, and I'm so glad he took the invitation. I want to say thank you right now. This young man hails from South Central Alabama. He has worked in areas in Central Alabama. He's a laborer of giving his service to our young people. So we're so glad to have him. None other than Marvin Smith. How you doing, Marvin?
Hey, I'm doing good. How you doing?
Okay, I'm sorry. Marvin Lala Smith. If that's what we're going to do, y'all going to listen to him. He has that gospel hour going on, too, on a midday action as well as Sunday. So check him out on Facebook. Check him out, Marvin Smith. Yeah, he's making things happen. So, man, we're about to get this thing started, fellas. I'm so glad to have you all. But before I go to the point of starting the show, let me do this. I got some people joining us on Facebook. We want to shout them out early. We'll make sure we do. We have Latay Pickett, Inspire to Inspire. She's the CEO and founder. Thank you, Latay, for joining us early. We have Yvette Smith, my biological young sister. Thank you so much. Out of the state of Georgia. We have the ones, Oliver, she's going to get me because I never can say that name like I need to say it. She's joining us as well. I know she's working in between, but she's taking time to make sure she can give us a shout out. She said, you know, I see you jamming. Yeah, I try to make it do what it do. And last but not least, so far, we have another one of the members of Phi Beta Sigma Fraternity. He's the chief of police for Moses, Alabama, DeMarcus. Thank you, DeMarcus, so much for joining us as well. All right, team, let's make this thing happen. We're talking about Championship Football 2020. Nobody thought we could get to this point where we can talk about Championship Football about 3 or 4 weeks, but we also have COVID-19 hitting us in places hard, causing games to be postponed or canceled. We're going to first start talking about that. COVID-19, we're going to discuss whether COVID-19 outbreaks on these college campus will lead to canceling more football games or possibly canceling the championship. I want y'all thoughts on that. Let us know how you feel by calling in 347-857-4192, press 1, and I'll make sure I get you on the line by calling out the last 4 digits of your cell or telephone number and ask you to offer your location, and then you can chat with Marv and chat with Tony and chat with me. Let me hear what you have to say, my brother, in regards to the maybe the possibility of canceling more games or possibly the championship because of the spike of COVID-19.
But Smith, I just want to say that I also echo what you said because I know that there were a little bit of possibilities of getting football started. I think football has gone as far as it could or should have gone because of the interaction, the number of players, especially at the university level. When you start talking about college, it's so much in-house, and it's so much camaraderie because you can't separate the student-athlete. I don't think the majority of it is happening on the field. The majority of it is happening when you're trying to monitor those student athletes 24 hours. I've been a surplus college athlete, and I know that the lifestyle of a college athlete cannot be controlled unless you have a 24-hour controller, because we're going to move around. We're going to find something to do, and that's all life off the court, life off the field. So I think that, and then you got the weather factor, the change in weather. I think what we have to look at now is trying to make sure that we can keep as many student athletes safe as possible. I think where we are now, you know, you can't do it forever. That's almost highly impossible. Where we are now is at a point where it's a possibility. But I'm going to tell you, like somebody told me at a high school football game the other night, whoever has the most players that are non-COVID that could be a winner and could be somebody that wouldn't even predict it going forward. I think when you look at revenue and you look at what the order is in the Division One and stuff like that when it comes to this sport, I think everything that can be done will be done. But you got to respect COVID. It's really taking off now to the highest extent. And, hey, let's just pray, my brother. That's all I can say. Let's just pray.
Awesome. Awesome, brother.
Coach, I think to piggyback on what you said, I think that I will take my hats off to the Alabama High School Athletic Association. I think they have done a tremendous job as well as they could with what have transpired through high school. Like you said, it has been some games, few games canceled. I think high school as a whole, I think they have done a good job with dealing with this COVID-19, the virus. But it's, you know, as the COVID getting ready to ramp up a little bit higher, is, you know, you're trying to see if you're going to get to the finish line. And I hope that, you know, with the kids has played as hard as they have and got to this point, I think we got about two more rounds before Super 7. And I, you know, I pray and I hope that it gets there to where the kids can crown to be champions. But I think that as far as the High School Athletic Association, as far as college, I think they are doing as much as best that they can do with the situation that they have been, that they have been dealt with.
Awesome, awesome, brother. And we have to keep in mind that it's something when you can't prepare for it. You have to be ready to adjust to it. And I think that's what's happening. Basically, I would say, especially with the college, especially with the SEC and many of the other conferences on the college level, they have to adjust. Even the NFL have to adjust to it. So what we have to do is that if we follow the measures that we have before us, do the best we can do to make sure we keep our players safe, keep our facility clean, and be prepared to deal with whatever, whether you're outside or inside. You need to make sure you do that, and I applaud the High School Athletic Associations within this region, because Florida was able to get to a point where they've been able to start last weekend with their play-in game. So this weekend will be their major first round. Also in the state of Georgia, they started last weekend. So they're able to South Carolina as well as Tennessee. So even though we never thought we could get to this point, we have managed and maneuvered the best we could to get where we are. As Brother Marlon said, about two more rounds, then you have the Super 7 here in the state of Alabama. You know, the finish line is close. So it's going to require, and I think we have to applaud our schools and applaud our coaches now. We're going to applaud the Alabama High School Athletic Association always. But, yeah, these administrators and these coaches are doing the best job they can do to keep their team afloat, keep their team following the protocol. So we applaud them. No, the season's not over with, but we as close as we're going to get to it being over. So we applaud them right now, and we can come back at the end in two or three weeks and applaud them again if we're able to make it and crown seven champions. And so we got to make sure we keep in mind there are going to be some things causing some people who would have been there, should have been there, but not because of some of the things outside of their control. What we have to do, even as individuals, we have to try to take care of ourselves, follow the protocol, follow the safety measures to make sure we're all healthy enough in our families, our full family, so we can carry on and move to the next stage. So that next stage. So that's the good part about it. Now, we want you to be a part of the 347-857-4192. Press 1 and make sure you're a part of it. I'm going to give you a shout-out by calling the last four digits of your cell or telephone number and ask you to offer your location, name if you choose, then offer your chat, join in with the conversation, and share your thoughts. Before we move on with the next part of that, because it's sort of like a two-part situation, this is dealing with the college playoff football playoff committee. You know, we want to know whether or not they should move the championship series, meaning the semifinals and the finals, back. So we think it's scheduled for January 1st. We're talking about the NCAA. We're talking about, you know, the Power Five, whether we want to move it back. But we want to talk about, I want to give a shout out to a couple other people that joined us. We have Dorothy Cunningham that's joined us. Thank you, Dorothy, so much. Barbara Beasley, Tasima Jackson, and Shay underscore Boogie, which is Shani Brown. Thank you for joining as well. We want to look at the next topic, which is dealing with, as I said, the College Football Playoff Committee. Should they think about or consider moving the playoff or the playoff series to the semifinals and the championship game back a week or two, or just leave it what it is? And I want your thoughts on the team.
Let me say this first, and I'm going to be very brief. I think the biggest challenge that committees have now is dealing with how they're going to deal with all these games that are being postponed. So they may not have a choice, because if you're going to have a decent look at the Pac-10 and all them coming in playing less of a game, that's already an issue right there. You can't make that up. And then you fall into COVID, where you have to postpone games. SEC did a very remarkable job by starting off in the beginning. Kudos to them. So they don't lose a whole lot of ground. But I think what the committee needs to look at now is you may have to look at not only moving back, but since Pac-10 and that those coast teams came in late, if any of those games don't have a whole lot of value in the SEC, then don't play them. You see my point? Because look at the margin. If you got teams that let's just say 6 or 7 games behind anyway in the conference, and neither one of those games will be a factor. If you move that out and move another team and get a team that does have some type of valuable in the numbers to determine a championship, move them in that spot, you may be able to get through with that, because you run out of space when you postpone and got to reschedule. Because I don't think our athletes are ready to play 2 games a week. I don't see that, because then you don't have injury recovery time. But I don't think that'll be a factor anyway now, because you're dealing with COVID. So you got a whole lot of things that you got to look at here. And I think postponing and canceling has really put the committee back to the wall. That's my take on that.
Awesome, awesome, Doug. Thank you so much, Doug Stalwart.
Well, Dr. Smith, my perspective, let me back up for a minute to high school. I have to give kudos and take my hat from being a referee. I had to take my hats off to the referees as well. And they make it a sacrifice, and they make it a sacrifice of being out there calling the game, because a game can't be played or called without the referee. So I wanted to back up a little bit. We know we gave kudos and props to the administrators and schools and Alabama High School Athletic Association, but we also have to give it to the referees, because they out there sacrificing themselves and their families to make the game go. So I wanted to take my time. I give them kudos, the referees. But as far as the playoff, pretty much I'm thinking they're going to have to be pushed back. They're going to have to be pushed back because of it's going to be some more game canceled. Either the game that they cancel because of the COVID is not going to get played in order for the game, the championship play, to stay where it's at, or they're going to have to move it back. As far as the Pac-10, how many, you have to say, well, how many Pac-10 teams are close to being or being in the championship or the Final Four? They're looking at Oregon. They're looking a little bit at USC. So then you go to the Big Ten, you got Ohio State, you got Indiana, who is the sleeper of the Big Ten right now because nobody was talking about Indiana. So, and the SEC is looking at, can you get two teams in at the SEC if you keep canceling the games? So that's something to think about as well. So it's all about the numbers right now as far as the championship game of how many games they want to allow teams to play. Can you get in the championship game by eight? We're playing eight games.
Let me say this, Brother Smith. I think
yes, sir.
You brought a very good point by SEC. It goes back to what I said. By them starting early as they have, and having a championship game, and we all know who will probably be a championship game being Florida, Alabama. I think that table right there is probably already set. I think who's going to have the problem, the biggest problem, is probably going to be the other conferences, especially a conference that does not have a championship game. They may not have anything to fall back on. That's going to be real tough. And then you go in and look at somebody like say the Pac-10 or some of them that have left a game, a eight-game season in a championship game. They're going to probably take that in order to get this thing done. So they're going to make it. I look like the way I see it now, by starting early.
Do you
see in Florida and Alabama off top.
Coach, do you think two SEC teams could get in?
I don't think they'd get in. I think the possibility of two SEC teams getting in has probably been negated now because I think what's going to happen, you're going to have two ACC teams getting in, being that of Notre Dame and Clemson.
Exactly.
You think Notre Dame and Clemson will get in?
Yeah.
I think that might be what the committee is looking at now in order to have a – so you get them two in – and you just about got everything locked. And that's all they want to do is have it locked. All the little games, you can get them in, they're fine. If they can lock them four in and have a championship, I'm not even saying it this way, that's exactly what they're going to do. They'll miss that money, boy.
Exactly.
That revenue changed a lot of things.
Exactly. And that's what it's about, and we got to be realistic. But both of the co-hosts brought some awesome points in regards to, and I appreciate Brother Smith bringing up about the High School Athletic Association official core. I'm going to say core because we still had volleyball going on. You know, we still had officials for both of them, and they had to work their way. We got to give them the same shout-out for – you know, coming out and making the game go. The game could not go without officials unless you're going to have a practice. You can practice, but you can't play a competitive game without officials. So we had to make sure we give a shout out. But one of the other things I want to add to this playoff committee, I think we're on a very thin line. And that thin line is that the further it moves, if it moves back, that's when your weather and your temperature and your conditions causes more problems because in January, you know, it's going to be really cold. It's going to be in the midst of a real flu season to a sense. And plus, I just think when they said from the beginning, coming to the College Football Playoff Committee, we're going to set these dates and we're going to go with these dates. If you decide to play in the spring, you won't catch this run. And this is what's going to happen unless it's going to be something that happened with these other teams, like Notre Dame lose two games, including one to Clemson in the championship game and lose another one. That teams like Oregon and USC, their intent, I really think, because they held out so long, was not interested in getting in the playoff. Because if they were, they would have kind of started at least by the 26th of September, and they didn't start until November. So I think they just wanted to make sure they could play some games and give their opportunity to play. So, because you got to have a minimum, if I'm not mistaken, six games with a Power Five competition. So they probably won't get there because right now you already have Washington out of the picture because they had to sit for the first 2 weeks. So I'm kind of not pushing the Pac-12 out, but I just don't believe they're going to be a part of the conversation. And they weren't intending on being a part of the conversation because they would have started earlier. They was the first one to say they weren't going to play in them besides the Big Ten, and they was the last one to decide to come back and don't have enough games. So they can't really stand to have. And then you have this situation with teams that are going to play 8 to 10 games, possibility with better competition, and we have to look at that. So that's why I think the committee is going to look at it, all possibility because of COVID-19. I just believe they're going to try to hold that first January and that 11th or 10th of January for the championship game, get it over with, so they want to push it back any further to deal with any other weather conditions that may cause this even more spike. Because we're in a season. It ain't 1 month. We got to remember with COVID-19, it's not this second spike has nothing to do with 1 month. You're talking about a term, probably they said October, November through February. That's what we're looking at. So we have to kind of get used to seeing that decisions have to be made, and we're going to have to hold it close to the vest so we can get whatever. And Coach Stallworth mentioned money. It's all about those TV packages, because not only can the CFP decide to just do that, they have to deal with the TV package too, see, for that. And they're not able to make the change because you're going to step into the NFL term. So this is where we are now, but we wanted to share these thoughts with you. We have additional people joining. We have one of the co-hosts, he joined us by Facebook. That's the King from North Alabama up there, none other than Coach Tremaine Edwards. He's joining us on Facebook. Also, we have Kim Sellers-Bates out of the great state of Georgia, a member of Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated. We want to give a shout-out to the Divine Nine joining us. Thank you so much. All right, let's move to this Heisman 2020 contenders. What are y'all thoughts in regards to who y'all think? We'll look at maybe the top five. Let's look at the top five candidates for the Heisman possibility, top five of the Heisman contenders.
All right. You know, the thing that surprised me the most out of the top five is how well Mac Jones has held his own. Coming on at Alabama, I was extremely surprised. And we all know that even though the trend of quarterbacks at the next level has changed somewhat now because everybody wants that athletic quarterback, the NFL is not going to ever, ever turn their back on a 6'3 or 6'4 pocket quarterback that can read defenses and be able to deliver as precision as Mac Jones is. I'm not taking anything away from Thrash, Justin Fields, Trevor Lawrence, and, of course, you know, Najee is the only running back in there. But I think Mac Jones right now, to me, even over Trevor Lawrence, and Trevor Lawrence is probably going to have a big, big, big number count with the committee because of his previous accomplishments. But my hat goes off to Mac Jones. And I'm going to be honest with you now. I'm not an Alabama fan, but I am a fan of good football players. He has shown me that he's a quality guy that can play at the next level along with Trevor Lawrence at this particular time. I mean, no offense, nothing against Justin Fields or a Thrash or the rest of them. But I'm going to tell you something. I think Mac Jones is cutting ball right now. He got somebody to throw to. But I've seen people having somebody to throw to and still couldn't get it to him.
Exactly.
And I think his biggest advantage has come from being in the system. A great advantage is he played a lot last year. And so it's not like this is his first time to him. And he's in a good system. So I think Mac, to me, stands a little bit above. And he's going to be there at the end of the day, too, probably with Trevor. So we'll see how it works out. And the committee will talk.
Coach, you brought up some great points now. But look at this. Matt Jones is probably thrown for right at 3,000 and some yards. Justin Fields is thrown for more yards than Matt Jones have in just almost four games. Justin Fields is throwing completed by like 86% of his passes. So you have to take that in consideration. He played less amount of games, but the amount of games he have played, he's been very, very persistent in each one of his games. Now, Trevor Lawrence over at Clemson, don't count him out. Even though the COVID had him to sit out a couple games, but you still can't take away the production that he have had before them. As you know, going in, he already was everybody front runner. So they're not going to exclude he set out two games. That's just part of the process we were talking about a while ago with the COVID. You can't punish him because he set out two games because of the COVID, but you still got to look at his production of what he's doing on the field. I still think it's a three-horse race between Matt, Justin, and Trevor. So it's how they're going to finish is how they're going to determine who probably win the Heisman. But right now, if I had to pick – I would give Matt Jones a slight edge because he played more games, but Justin Fields right now, pass percentage and completion ratio is better than Matt Jones.
Awesome, awesome. Let me tell you, and both of y'all have very strong points in regards to that. I truly think that it's going to come down to and the next few weeks to kind of see what exactly, because you got to remember the regular season is always the key to it, because normally even if they get into the playoff, what they call a championship game, they may look at that as well. Just remember all that talk was about Tua and all this, and the minute he got hurt, what happened to him? He dropped down. And there's one thing about it, the odds makers going to put their odds in on who they think best, and we can believe. But I personally believe, I see something happening in the state of Florida down there with Kyle Trask, because he's averaging over 5 or 16 touchdowns a game, and then played over six games, and that's unusual, man. You know, he has some numbers like Joe Burrow's, you know. And every time Mac Jones and Justin Fields has to sit out, or Trevor Lawrence, that allows Kyle Trask to get back in the picture. Some of the odds have put him ahead this week because of other people sitting out. Unfortunately, Alabama didn't have a player that had COVID, but the team they played didn't have enough players to field. So everybody suffered. So the point is that we kind of look at it with each one of them. I see Mac Jones edging so far these individuals out, but your odds maker have Kyle Trask and went by both of Justin Fields, Mac Jones. It's not Trevor Lawrence is totally out the picture, but he's out because of the two games that really hurts him on that manner right there. It ain't like he just didn't play. He couldn't play. And the numbers are going to be something they talk about. So that's what it is. But we're going to keep an eye on the Heisman contenders, and we're going to talk about it until we get to the end, and we'll make our own selection at the final day just like everybody else. So I do appreciate it. You can be a part of this, 347-857-4192. Press 1, and I'll make sure I get you on the line by calling out the last four digits. Then you offer your pretty much your thoughts and comments. Yes, sir.
Don't. Hey, you got to remember that sleep up there at BYU too.
Mm-hmm.
That quarterback up there.
Coach,
don't sleep on BYU.
That's so true. Mm-hmm. They put up some numbers.
He got some great numbers up there at BYU, and it's really all about the eye candy, like you say. Who's watching? Who's watching?
Yep.
Do a lot of people watch BYU? That votes?
Yeah.
Or do more people watch the SEC that vote? You know what I mean? So it's about the eye candy. But if you look at the number, that kid at BYU got just his number just as good as the four we just named.
That's true.
Exactly. Exactly. That's awesome right there, man. I tell you. So let you be a part of the conversation. You can type in some comments on Facebook, or you can call in, or you can go to Instagram or Twitter and make your point known in regard to who you think should be ahead of this so far. But we just at this week, which is week 12, I believe, coming up, week 11 or 12 coming up. So you can kind of see exactly how you would put those individuals in this Heisman race, Heisman contender race. All right, we want to kind of step over and move our agenda and talk a little bit about our historical black college and university spotlight. And I want to kind of, something that wasn't on the agenda, I want us to kind of, I want to get your thoughts, team, in regards to the hiring of Primetime at Jackson State University. What kind of impact will that be on the SWAC?
Primetime ain't got to win a game. he ain't got to win a game. And just the fact that he's in the SWAC is good enough for the HBCU. It don't matter if he don't win a game.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm with you on that. He got everybody's attention, boy.
He got everybody's attention. When primetime come to Alabama State, when Jackson State come to Alabama State, people are going to come to that game just to see Primetime. They already come for the band, so they're going to sell some more tickets. Now, we hope that the COVID be going away to where everybody can get a chance to go see him, and it ain't a certain amount can go see him. When you can get that close to greatness.
Dr. Smith, you know, we had this conversation sometimes back. I think it might have been away from this season, the three of us, me, you, and Daryl. And we were talking about how we can get more economic impact on the HBCUs.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
I think I mentioned it, and I think you support it as well. If we can get some of our retired professional athletes to come back and bring their services in, because when they bring their services in, it's not like they're looking for a lot of revenue per se for themselves. But what it does, it's so impactful. You know, look at Alabama State University, does the same thing, and Jackson. You know, those are the type of things. Now, that's the trend that we're going to have to go in order to save or promote our HBCU universities. I mean, we believe in tradition, but tradition don't pay bills. We believe in having a good time. We believe in all the things that we use, the camaraderie that we have when we have our big games. But we got to find some kind of way to get more impactness. And I think that Primetime has really stepped out there, especially in the sport of football, and shown. And Williams at Iowa State University has done so well. And my hat goes off to that. And I just hope the rest of the professional athletes that are out there will step in. It doesn't have to be longevity. It has value behind that. And appreciation as well. I'm an HBCU guy, and we can always have that old good spirit. So we need that revenue too, so we can get our big time athletes to stop going up the road and just stop by the house. You know what I'm saying?
But let me add this to it. Not only by adding Primetime to the SWAC, what about adding Florida A&M? Let's say Florida FAMU and Bethune-Cookman. That is like you can just see how the SWAC is getting ready to elevate.
Yes, it's close. That's right.
You can bet it's going to be some more big name coaches get hired in the SWAC. The trend is, like you say, it's already there, and Primetime has set the stage to say, hey, man, let's go home.
That's right. That's
there you
right.
go. They're coming home. Yeah, a lot of them are coming
home. Even when those guys come to the games like the Classic and they're being Toastmasters or whatever you want to call at those type of games, that old spirit and that pride, it re-interjects them. They look at what they really, really have missed and feel like they want to give something back. We invite that. And if the timing ain't elegant and right, it's right now. Right now.
Exactly. Exactly. And I tell you, it's awesome to have those those MEAC team or those Florida team adding to this in 2021. And a lot of things have happened over the last month or two in regards to particularly those two schools down in Florida. They will not participate in anything in the spring. They won't start until they come as their introduction into the SWAC in the fall of 2021. A lot of other schools, like the SWAC, is going to be playing this spring because they got a Magic City Classic on April 17th up in Birmingham, Alabama, between Alabama A&M and Alabama State University. However, with Florida A&M and Bethune-Cookman has chosen not to even participate, even with the last year at the MEAC. They're going to just wait and wait for the fall and get everything together. Then besides that, you got prime time in here. Prime time have kind of shaken things up. You know, he just had a son to commit to him, had several other Division I players to come to Jackson State, even out of Mississippi State, Southern Mississippi, and also out of Florida. He's just drawing those players over there. He has a good backing because he's still doing his part with the NFL Live. He's also and got that Subway support endorsement. And you can see things begin to change just with the image of primetime being at Florida State. I'm sorry. Let me back it up. Jackson State University. So having those blockbusters hires in the SWAC means something. But getting those young people to come back home to the historical Black college and university, the level of play will increase and it'll move forward. So we still applaud him being selected by Jackson State University. That means everybody else need to pick their game up too as well and begin to play at a level that needs to be played. We're going to have 12 teams in this conference coming up in September or August of 2021, and you're going to have a division of the East and the West. Alcorn will move over to the West. FAMU and Bethune-Cookman will be coming to the East. So you're talking about good travels, good competition over in the East, as well as good competition in the West and playing against each other. So it's going to be an awesome fall set up for that. But we still have spring football to go for a lot of the SWAC teams. And very few MEAC and the SIAC haven't announced. CIAA have not announced as well. So we look forward to seeing them and see what decision will be. If we could kind of move forward, we want to move forward to our high school and middle school storyline. Brother Starworth, I know you want to kind of jump in here and kind of share some thoughts about week two as well as week three championship playoff matchup, which begins this week.
Got some very good football left, and hey, yeah, there are games that you, especially one A, would you like to be in if you could split yourself up. I like the fact that there's an outstanding down the road battle between Sweetwater and Linden. Be reminded that Linden is one of the remaining undefeated teams in rank two in or was ranked two at the end of the season in 1A. Maplesville comes to Brantley. Brantley is the other undefeated team in 1A. The winner of those will probably be a contender for a championship. I just really believe the best teams, I'm not trying to be selfish, but I think the best teams, you look at Pickens County, Brantley, Maplesville, Linden, you know, Sweetwater, I think the best teams are championship teams, because the team that comes from down here is a championship team. That's the way I see it. 2A, I like the Leroy Lynette, and that's going to be a fun runner right there. Now I'm telling you, that's a place I wouldn't mind being either. You know, Montgomery has, and I didn't think I'd ever say this, but Montgomery has done real, real well with private school representation. You got Trinity MA. You look at Montgomery Catholic and the Miller game, you could have another rematch between Trinity and Montgomery Catholic. And again, Montgomery Catholic in our 4A is under siege. I want to move forward to USM Wright. USM Wright got caught up in that number count, you know, Brother Smith, Hope you Smith, where winning the championship, they had won on the years gone by. A lot of people looked at them because they did. But they came from a lower level and came up to 5A and had to play those teams. And guess what? They still alive. However, you don't have to play out either way. You have to play the status. And I think the status is another one of the DC. St. Paul. So St. Paul made a long noise when we started, when the association started the competitive balance. But kudos to them. They still alive. Central Clay. I'm talking about this Central Clay since we got an official on the line about the myths. Fumbles, two fumbles in the game in Andalusia, and a supposed to be out of bounds on a receiver that wasn't called. You know, I don't get into that because I'm like this. Officials call what they see and got no reason to cheat because the pay is the same either way. Right, la.
I agree totally with you.
Oh,
if you ain't said nothing good all night, you said that very well.
Oh, I'm going to use the official too now. You know, somebody called me about that situation with Andalusia, and I listened to him. I said, at the end of the day now, the game don't change. The officials are a contract organization. The only thing the Hotel Letters Association is going to do is give the official director an opportunity to do whatever they're going to do to hold the official accountable if it's ruled that they made a ball bad call. Probably suspension, etc., or whatever. But the game remains the same. Moving on. Block. I like Block down there. Block has done well the last 2 years. Spanish Fort and Block. I think it's 2 years in a row, Dr. Smith, they meet each other. Theater.
Oh, yeah.
And off.
Yes, sir.
Hoover and Thompson, another rematch, as was last year. I thought I could say this. Football, let's pray, is going to be real, real good in the Super 7 because I don't see any bad teams that are going to survive to get there. I'm hoping that I can be able to ride a piggyback on some of mine to get there or one of mine to get there, but I'm going to tell you something. I'm going anyway. That's it.
I have to correct y'all on one thing on one of these games. Phoenix City, Central Phoenix City is playing Auburn. They won the game.
That's
so it's
right.
A rematch.
That's correct.
Between
that's
Central
correct.
Phoenix City
yeah,
and Auburn.
Yeah, Phoenix City and Auburn. Yeah, they beat Phoenix.
That's correct. That's
yeah.
correct.
Yeah, sure.
That's a rematch game. It should be Central Phoenix City and Auburn, up
that's
in
right.
Auburn.
Yeah.
So we
yeah,
have
a
we have a lot of
that's a regional rematch too, isn't it?
Yes. It's,
yeah.
Auburn beat them week two.
That's
when
right.
Phoenix City was still juggling quarterbacks. Who gonna be the quarterback?
That's right.
That's right around the time you finally beat them. But since then, Phoenix City have not lost the game, so if I had to pick one, I would give them the edge. I think they're a little bit more hotter coming in into this game. And, you know, they got a little hungerness to say, hey, you beat me the first game. You know how that goes, though. But my game that I circled was, going back to Montgomery, was Trinity and Montgomery Academy.
Yeah.
They played week one, and Montgomery Academy beat Trinity in week one by a touchdown. And that's going to be a very, very interesting game. Two different style of game, two different style of team. Montgomery Academy like to grind the ball. They want to run it 90% of the time. They want to pass it 10%. And Trinity want to spread you out and throw the ball. So I think that game is going to be a very, very interesting game.
Sound like a Maplefield and Brent, isn't it?
That is correct. Now, down in 1A, Coach, like you said, for the south part of it, that's like the top four teams. You got Brantley, Linden, Maplesville, Sweetwater. Them the top
that's
four
right.
teams in 1A getting ready to play each other. So I think the championship is going to come out of the bottom, out of the south myself. And also, I had the chance to referee Montgomery Catholic. They have some athletes over there. But
yes, sir.
You can never count out Thomasville because they got a tradition of football over there on that west side of town.
And that's why you can't count Sweetwater out. Sweetwater lost to who? Thomasville and Leroy. Upper class,
yep.
And them two teams are still playing. I tell
They still there. They're still there. So just like you said about UMS,
yes,
right? I knew that Pike Road was going to have a hard chance of going down there to whoop UMS Wright because
that's right.
of the tradition
right.
of UMS Wright. They back to back champions.
That's true.
Yep.
Pike Road is
the balance just got them out of Philly. They're in 5A now. That's all that is.
That's
yep.
correct. The talent didn't change, just the bracket did.
Yeah.
That's it.
And at the end of the day, they're still in it.
Still in it. Still playing.
You look at Hoover and Thompson. That's just enough said by itself. You know, Hoover and Thompson. Thompson is on the rise. Hoover is still on Hoover. So you know, Thompson is the defending champ.
Exactly. And Thompson, to add with that, Thompson beat Hoover, you know, earlier and gave him that one loss. Now they got to play for the rematch. So it's going to be awesome. All of these games are going to be nothing but some excitement in high school football. Yes,
yeah,
yes. Go ahead, on.
Let me add this, and just for the listeners, you know, take Central Phoenix City, you know, the running back, I mean, you know, the kid last week, you know, ran for 183 yards, 2 touchdowns, Joseph McKay. And you got big-time players here, man. Eric Watt. 206 yards, 3 touchdowns, Opelika versus Hillcrest. And then you look at Alabama Christian, Jalen Clark, Teddy Carey, 214 yards, TD run, 164 yards on last week. And then you look at Leroy, and this is another one of the teams that our people are lost to, Kelson Spike, 267 yards on 33 carries and 3 touchdowns for Leroy. And Spanish Ford, Brendan Bird, sophomore quarterback, 14 to 23, 184 yards. And that's a pretty good quarterback down there in front of you, ain't it, La-La?
Exactly.
Yeah.
He ain't bad.
Yes, sir.
La-La.
No, sir. Those guys lost ball play.
What our listeners need to understand is just don't miss these next couple weeks of football because there's some outstanding players that will be in the All-Star game and that will be at the next level. I just want to throw that in, man.
That's awesome, man. I tell you, that's what it's all about. We're just bringing the sports to you. It's Championship Football 2020, even if we're dealing with COVID-19. Now, we're at the end of the show. And we thank the co-hosts for being a part of this. They brought some awesome information to you. I want to make sure I give a shout out to each and every one of those individuals that's joined us on Facebook, as well as we have quite a few on Twitter, essence what you would call Periscope. We have Demetra Besser joining us, member of Delta Sigma Theta Sorority Incorporated. Denise Stephanie joining us out of Berkeley, California. Behind the Mass Ministry. She's the CEO and founder. We also have Kim Sellers-Bates, member of Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated, Tremaine Edwards, co-host the King for Talking Sports Plus. You also have Tasima Sunshine Jackson. Thank you, Tasima, for joining us. Barbara Beasley, she's checking us out as well. Dorothy Cunningham, thank you, Dorothy. DeMarcus Weed, a member of 580 Sigma Fraternity Incorporated. Yvette Smith, my youngest biological sister. Louise Luans Oliver. I'm going to get that right. She's going to give me a hard time, but I'm good for that. I told her I'm going to work on it.
I'm going to
work on
it.
Latane Pickett, Inspire to Inspire, was telling she inspired me to be inspired to keep grinding. And also we have joining us, he's live, but he also on Facebook, none other time. Newest member of this team with Talking Sports Plus. We're so glad to have you, Marvin. Thank you so much, Marvin Smith, for joining us. It's been awesome, and we look forward to having you on here again next week when you're available, when you're open, your invitation came to you to make sure you be here and check us out. We also have some others on Twitter. We have Shay_Boogie. Sandy Brown, thank you, Sandy. Jessica Allen, 2660. Jessica was making a request to come live, and I'm sorry, Jessica, I couldn't get you in like I needed to. Minister Hendricks, that's Shannon Lewis, and she's also the host of a show we have on Thursday night at 8 o'clock. the Minister Shannon Show. Then we also have, again, Jessica said, again, she sent another request. She wanted to be on here. You know what? I'm going to give her a chance to be live. Let me see if Jessica ready to go live here. Waiting on Jessica before we close it out. She declined, and I wanted Jessica to come and check us out. But it was awesome. Anything you brothers want to say before we close it out, and then we get ready to go for next week, but we do have a show tomorrow in regards to some love.
I just want to say thank y'all, but let me be a part of greatness. Hey, Coach Starwell, don't hold it against me, man. I just want to be a part of greatness, man. That's all.
Well, I'm gonna say this. I think you kind of broke on your way on the show.
He found a way to get in, didn't he?
Yeah, he got in way to get in, but he did a good job. Anyway, that's my man.
Yes, sir.
And as always, it has been nice to have another night with you. And my parting words, as always, please take the day. And don't let the day take you.
Thank you. All right, dear. We understand. Thank you, Brother Starter. Thank you, Brother Bob and Smith, for joining us. We look forward to having you back next week, because we're going to be exciting next week. We're going to talk some more championship football. We're closing. We're inching closer and closer. It's been awesome having you on Blog Talk Radio, Facebook, as well as Twitter. And as I tell you, hashtag One Life Matter. Hashtag responsible. Yeah.
Dr. Smith, I gotta wait till you get Darryl back on the air.
Okay.
Send him an invitation to tell him you're gonna talk about some damn race car.
Okay, we'll talk about some race car. We'll get Darryl E back here. We'll get the king. You know, we'll get the man. He's the king of race car. He came with a fast car now. But it's all good to have each of the brothers on here. Has been awesome tonight. We will have a full slate next week. And we look forward to having everybody here. The next hashtag is Keep On Grinding. And our last hashtag is Communicate for Understanding. And as we stroll out of here, I always tell everybody, hug somebody close to you. Hug your family member, your friends. Give them a big hug, if it's not, but virtual. Do that, because life is going to be so much better. Yes, we're dealing with COVID-19, but love your family members. Because, you know, as we move through the show, I tell everybody as we close it out, but we want to make sure you check us out tomorrow night at 6 o'clock, the Love Cafe. You're going to love what we're going to be talking about tomorrow night at 6 o'clock Central Standard Time, and you're going to have a ball with Dr. Lowe. We look forward to sharing some awesome ideas. We also will have Pastor Eddie Pratt and Tina Robinson as well. So have an awesome rest of the night. And as I tell y'all all the time, you know, I say this from my heart. I love you, and there's a thing you can do about it. Have an awesome rest of the night. And I'm going to just say that, you know, we are one, man. We are one. And that's what it's all about. So-